please would you give an African warm welcome to Pastor James Lou.
Praise the Lord, saints. See, that's, praise the Lord, saints. All right, good. I hope we have fun in whatever we do right now. This is in the Spirit's hands. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would help us in these moments to go only to the places that you desire for us to go, to read the things you desire for us to read, to have revealed that which you want to be revealed, to allow something that seems to be corporate to find an individual landing spot in each heart. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to obey. God, I pray that you would think through this mind and speak through this mouth. The words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. And every glad and happy heart say amen. Look over at somebody and say, God is good. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just getting set up. Got to get a setup spirit on me right now. Let's see. That's the technology. The old saints didn't believe in using technology to get their messages. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, in that intro, when they start talking about my wife and all the places she's gone to sing. You know, my whole life of being married to her 20 years and together 4 years before that, it's just, she's just been a star. You know your spouse is a star when they call you by her last name. You know, in many circles, I'm James Winans. And I can cash a check in the name of James Winans. Then I'm with my wife and they're getting her autograph, and I'll just kind of be standing there. And I think they just start feeling sorry for me and say, "And we, you know, you can sign too. You sign the CD too." Okay, well, I sign. And, you know, so I just want to say I'm blessed to be here. This is my second time within this year. I was at the World Conference, which was amazing. We still talk about it, but one of the things I want to bring up to the about the World Conference, just to celebrate how Africa radically changed my family's life. My kids, even until last week, are still talking about the impact on their life from the kids' ministry here. And no, I'm serious. And they you know, and I just believe them. They came to me during the conference, and they have not changed the story that they saw Jesus, they met Jesus, they got nations that they're going to, and they won't change. You know, and I am forever grateful and in debt to this nation, this group of people who prepared something so excellent for children. The other thing we have in common is, as an African-American, I love Africa. In my whole life, I'm going to tell you, before I came to Africa for the first time, I just want you to let you know what they do to Americans. They scare you about Africa. They do. They just say, look, man, you can get mauled by a monkey. You can, you know, a rhino might come out of nowhere and hit you on the side. You might never be this. You can get gorged. I mean, you're just nervous. You're nervous, and you just, Lord, I ain't going there. You didn't call me to go to Africa. I got to stay in America. We safe. I got to be safe in America. Okay, so I want to. Okay, so I'm going to get to the message. Just let me get all this other stuff out. So I got to Africa, and I said, Lord, this is beautiful. And I just start crying. My feet hit the ground, and I knew it was divine. And I just burst into tears because, you know, being an African-American and the brokenness of my own family, really coming back to this nation, something made me whole. Something was great and wonderful. So I love being here. I love being with you guys. Another thing that we have in common is you guys had the picture of those African praying hands for years, which are icons in our church, which still ride high. And they connect us at all times. And it reminds us not just of our diversity, but it reminds us of our responsibility to maintain the diversity and to maintain a vertical and a horizontal relationship. When you think about Africa, you almost always connected to prayer. Just as an American, I'm saying, when I think about Africa, I think about God's country and a place of prayer. And so I'm grateful that you guys have done this. Now, what can happen when you're either known for something or you have developed a pattern for something that you can take it for granted and it can become stale or just systematic, and somehow the fire can come out of it, or you will start praying more out of your soul than out of the leading of his spirit, which is what we'll talk about today. When you pray out of your soul, there's a bit of manipulation that is attached to it. Lord, if you help me, I'll help you. You know you need helpers. Here I am. Hold up your end of the bargain, I'll hold up my end of the bargain. You do for me, I'll do for you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. I give you some hallelujahs, you give me some money. The relationship can take on a manipulative situation. And how you know you got into manipulation is because it has nothing to do with God leading you anywhere. He didn't lead you to that conclusion or to that stance. And then there's another thing we want to talk about is the manifestation of his presence. Pastor Manny did so well at articulating the deity and the theology of God, the Holy Spirit. But you don't just need to be aware of him. Like, well, I know we got the Holy Spirit if we need him. You need to have an active, regular involvement where the God on the inside of you is consistently and repeatedly upon you until you no longer know the difference between when you are praying and when you're not praying. Okay, we're gonna get there. We're gonna get this. All the places we're going. This is just called a setup. And then in spirit-led prayer, you also find what is the deepest motivation. Have you and I individualize everything to the degree that most of your prayer life is motivated on something that has to do by something that has to do with you and not your mission or God's mission for the church. Because I'll just keep it in my life. Though I can articulate these facts and these principles, much like I believe probably the majority of people in here could, I could find at seasons and times in my life a hypocrisy, a duality, a in and out, a halfwayness, a familiarity where I understand these things about God and his leading, the way he moves, but I have become comfortable with doing it my way. And I have not conformed to his way or his image. I've made him, or I tried to make him conform to mine. And it's no longer his will be done. It's my will be done, or I'll pout about it. I'll give a spiritual work slowdown. You want me to go where? Where? I couldn't quite hear you. Lord, speak louder. If you want me to move, because can't move that fast. Okay. It's just seasoning where we're going. A great deal of my relationships I have found are centered around spirit-led prayer. Let me give you a list of them. My relationship with my wife of 20 years, 4 years of me not dating her but befriending her, I thought we were closer, but she told me she didn't like me till the fourth year. So I just started telling the story like she said it, because I thought we was from gold. I thought it was like it was on. But I learned it. I wasn't ranking quite as high as I thought. But my first date, I thought it was a date. I'm not even sure if it was a date, but the first alone trip we took somewhere was to a park under a tree, a weeping willow, where my idea, I wasn't very romantic at the time. I was deeply spiritual, almost spiritually off. I was so spiritual, just off. And I can help y'all with off spirits, because people who are spiritual and the spiritual, you get off quick. And you need somebody to tell you. And if you don't have friends to tell you that was weird, they don't love you. If you lean back too far, you know, anything brings too much to you, it's out there in that category. And it's no doubt it was authentic, but you should have boxed it in. Anyway, so I'm sorry. If you don't like this one, I got two more sessions you might like better. So that's all I can tell you. This is my warm-up session. But I took her to this weeping willow, and I got the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Because I really thought, like if you're going to start a day, this is how you do it. And I said, let's just start out the day. I got the blanket out. I had no water, no food, nothing. And I zoned out and he says, let's just pray a while. And you know, people who really love tongues, they get deep in the tongues, deep, and then they can start singing in tongues, deep, and then go to a deep place without you. That was there. And I'm like, I'm getting the wife out of this. Because I'm interpreting this tongue is wife. This is tongue wife material. This is it. Hallelujah. I'm in the house. Okay, so, Manny, I wish mine was more spiritual. It's just, I'm going to get there. So, but our relationship started right there. And at my time, a spirit-led prayer. This is a Genesis. It was the essence of who I was. Who she was getting. It was raw and unabated. By the time we married 4 years later, she was the only woman I'd ever been with. She was a virgin. I was a virgin. I was so locked in. I don't want you to say that to sound better than anybody else. I probably was that because I was scared.
Because you can't just it wasn't because I was honoring God. I was just scared. I said, something bad going to happen to me. I know too much about Jesus. I'm just not going to do it. So, I mean, I don't just make it like I was that spiritual, okay? But for years, I get up at the same time every day and pray for an hour because that's how we was taught. 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., you pray. You don't do nothing else. You don't eat. You don't work out. You don't go do nothing. You can brush your teeth because you don't offend the Lord. That's about it. Because he can smell breath. Just because he in the spirit don't mean he can't smell your breath. Man, he's thinking, where did he get this theology? I said, how this? If I keep at this pace, I ain't going to get through it all. I got to speed up. And so first day of my honeymoon, first day out of the country ever in my life, and I look at the clock. It's 8 o'clock, and I done missed prayer. And I'm in the bed crying. And my wife said, what's wrong? I said, it's 8. I don't know how this happened. I didn't got married and little God. See, off will come on you. See that off? The spirit wasn't leading me to cry about that. I'm in a pattern that no longer has anything to do with him. I know it looks like it, doesn't it? Has to do with what I like and how I like it and how I feel. It wasn't spirit-led to make my wife feel bad that the first time we ever did something and now I'm crying because I missed prayer like I'm cheating on Jesus. You think that was the Lord? It wasn't the Lord. Somebody had to tell me. I need more time. I'm going to do my best. Okay. Pastor Rice Brooks and myself probably spend the most, other than my wife, I spend the most amount of my time with him. And we got a word from the Lord at one point that says, if we pray together, we win. So here we are. Some people used to laugh at us to this, but I won't point these people out. But we've developed this pattern of holding hands when we pray. Like by ourselves, like in the St. Jude's Mark, if you come in, we just. One day, Pastor Rice just turned to me. He said, in the middle of prayer, he just stopped. He said, aren't you glad? I said, what? That we're secure enough that we can hold hands and just pray. Like I said, man, I don't want you bringing attention to it while we're praying. Just stay in the spirit. Just come on. We in unity, but don't bring it up because then I'll notice it and everything. I wasn't noticing it till now, man. Come on, just keep praying. You need prayer partners. How many people love Pastor Jim LaFoon? Raise your hand if you love him. I'll put your hand down. You love him because he never gave you a bad prophecy. That's why you love him. I like him. Because I always get a bad prophecy. I never seen more people who get a good prophecy. And when he gets to me, demonic winds coming against you. I see winds. I got up in church and said in front of everybody, Pastor Jim is here. He can prophesy over everybody he wants. I just decided I don't want a prophecy from him because I could do bad all by myself. But what I love about Pastor Jim, in seriousness, is for all of the years that he's lived in Nashville and since he come back, we've had a pretty a constant thing we do. He don't get up at 6, but I get to his house about 7. We get in the car, we pray for about an hour.
Then we drive to Hardee's, which is a restaurant, a drive-through. We get a double biscuit. He probably don't want me telling all this. And we just, our relationship is centered around Spirit-inspired prayer. I think of Pastor Marvin Winans, who helped me figure out that he would say it like this to get you to prayer. He said, God don't get up late. This is what the old saints would say. I said, when did he get up? He get up early in the morning while it's still dark. So you got to start praying. Debbie's daddy prayed at 4 in the morning. He got up at 5. We were the weak people who got up at 6 a.m. to pray because Jesus got up when it was dark, and sometimes it could be light at 6. We had to pray. Then we had church mothers who, every time they saw me, they would have a word, and it would go like this. I'm like, this is, you don't know if it's good or bad. You just struggle. You want to figure it out. And then it'll start like this. Many days. I said, Mother, what? Many days what? The Lord is calling you to fast. Many days. No, Jesus. No, I don't want to fast. No. Yet. And I would get on my knees and I'd beg. I'd say, Mother, please take it back. No, the Lord has said many days. I said, has he given you a number? Did he tell me to decide? She said, oh, it's just many. She said, whatever many means, but stay in many because he's going to use you. I said, but Mother, I got to do this and that. He said, he just wants to have time with you. He needs to develop some things in you. Now, all that to say, in a discipleship culture, you can become what you behold. You're helping someone follow Jesus by being a good pattern yourself. And in that you have extremes, and then you have balanced folks. But how you are discipled, how those people are being led of the Spirit will shape you. You see, the foundation I have of Spirit-led prayer allows me to experience the winds and the earthquakes and the challenges and find myself still on the rock. Let me give you an example, and I'm going to take you to the Word. Remember I told you there's a hypocrisy in me? You see, a lot of times you say that kind of thing, you want to say, well, 10 years ago is a hypocrisy. No, this was like 2 months ago. Before I finished the building we were finishing, I was 417,000 dollars short. To where, you don't want that scripture that says you started out building, you couldn't finish. That was stalking me. Because you don't come up with 400 quick. And in my flesh, I have been trained as a professional fundraiser. I've raised millions of dollars forever. But I had told the Lord I would not lean on my flesh to raise the money. But I can shake this room down and you'll give it. It's a skill. You get to me. You are. You will. And I knew I was so desperate for the money as a leader that I was going to be in the flesh. But because I have an appointment, a regular appointment with God, I was able to talk about it. I was able to have him, let me rephrase it. I was able to have him bring up that deep thing in my soul that was so buried, I would have never pointed it out myself. Never. And after the Lord articulated to me what was wrong, and it was Saturday night, I said, I can't go before the people to get something when my job is to give something. So no one knew but my wife. And tell anybody, I disqualified myself from ministering to the people just a few Sundays before the biggest needs I have. It's like, man, wouldn't that be great? I couldn't get it together fast enough. So you got a choice. Are you going to be fleshly led or are you going to be spirit led? You have a choice. You have a choice. And in choosing the spirit, I couldn't even get it right the next Sunday. I missed the second Sunday when I needed it. But because you trust God, the third Sunday when I came back just before we went in, I accumulated 423,000 dollars of the 417 I needed miraculously. What am I trying to tell you is that if you're going to not trivialize the scriptures that you may have heard before, you have to know that you're desperate for them today, just like the first time you heard them, to keep yourself on track. There's no special grace you get from being a leader, and I consider everybody here a leader. You have to live the word every day. All right, let's turn to anybody who got a pair of glasses I could borrow?
What's your, let me see.
Pastor Steve, I know you just loving this.
Yeah, that works.
So, I'm laughing because my life is filled with Pastor Steve Merle giving me advice I don't listen to fast enough. And he told me to get some glasses that I could wear all the time so this wouldn't happen because I don't remember until I'm blind. Okay. And I was so blind, I'm on the wrong message. I mean, I'm looking like, man, I can't. It's okay. It's okay. I just switched. There we go. There we go. All right, go to. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to, and if you're doing a PowerPoint, I'm only going to start at the 12th verse. Okay, so I love our Go conference because Jesus told them before you go, you need to wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place on one accord. And then there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and the Spirit filled the place where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like a fire appeared, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. God knew that we needed a manifestation of his power, a manifestation of his spirit. There are times when, yes, God is in you, but you need God's ministry active in your life. And when the ministry of the Holy Spirit came for a purpose, to help them be a witness. It wasn't something initially individual that was the attempt to be accomplished. Though when we typically think about our prayer language and our opportunities like that, we individualize it. And it doesn't become something that we see connected to something greater or something bigger. I'm not saying that it's exclusively for that. I'm saying that it was initially connected to being a witness
to have it. So you need the manifestation of the presence of God in your life. And go to, let me read verse 12. Because I want to bring you to a point here to help. So with yourselves, since you are eager to for a manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. So remember, the first manifestation of the Spirit is designed to what? Build a church. Now, Jude tells us also, Jude 20 says, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Then we let's keep reading. It says, oh, that was good. Y'all, man, y'all love y'all people. Next verse. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. Now, how often do you do this? Is it just a scripture in the Bible to you? Do you just think my soul might want to know or you don't want to know? Is the Spirit ever leading you to ask this? Have you ever one time in your speaking of tongues actually interpreted? Desiring this. You desire the spiritual gifts. Keep going. Verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Verse 15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone? And I don't want to read that part. Okay, so what I wanted to get you to understand here, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that he did praise in an unknown tongue does not pray to men or speak to men, but speaks to God. There are times when the empowerment of the Spirit is for your building up, for your edification, but this, what is he trying to build you on? The Bible says, the words I speak, they are spirit and life. He still needs you, even though you're speaking in your heavenly language, to have some desire to comprehend what is going on so you truly can be built up. If your tongues are always in a mindless format, that means you have no comprehension. It can be stale. It can come labor. You can begin to marginalize that gift. But if you begin to pray in the spirit, pray also that you might interpret or align your mind with worship, align your body with a part. Something more dynamic can begin to happen when the spirit comes upon you. You know, I tease people all the time who had experiences with God, the Holy Spirit coming upon them, because I came from backgrounds where it was accompanied with something physically dramatic. Could be a waving of the hand. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It had variations, and it's okay. It's really real, you know. But what happens is we can get caught in the experience instead of the why behind it, and it loses its power or effectiveness in us. When you practice being mindless of your tongues instead of mindful, you're losing some of the benefit it can be to you. To align yourself, and I don't mean that in a judgmental way. I'm just saying that I've done that. I'm trying to show you a more dynamic principle to pray in the spirit and pray with your understanding. We need the manifest presence of God to be effective, and it, as we get to the end, there's an exercise we're going to do that. Number two, we don't need to manipulate God to get what we want. Let me give you a story that helps you. Go to my next story, please.
Go to Acts 8, verse 14.
This is a story of a man. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone of whom I lay my hands, they may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to them, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." In my background of a natural father I was estranged from, who only saw maybe five times in my life, during a small period of time where we were allowed to visit, my natural father was heavy into the occult. And if you've ever been around someone with occult practices and occult tendencies, it's deeply spiritual, and yet it can give you the illusion that something more powerful than God is even at work. The scripture talked about this guy that he worked in magic, and that he was called a great man of God. And he had begun to hear Philip's preaching. The Bible said he began to believe and he began to follow them. But yet, even after believing and following them, his heart is not right. Because he's trying to figure out what he can do to get, instead of understanding that when you really get God, you get everything that God has. There's no deal to be made. There's a receiving by faith. This man is around the things of God, but he's still in the solical realm, and he's not being spirit-led. He's still in manipulation. And you and I have to ask ourselves, where do we land? Well, I'm fine with the Lord. I believe. Well, the Bible says even the devils in hell believe and tremble. And remember, I told you, it's sometimes when we're in church, we give ourselves a pass on sin. He said iniquity in his heart. Iniquity, for the purposes of today, we're going to define as a disposition in opposition to the will or word of God. Iniquity is a disposition in opposition to the will or word of God. That means he didn't think like God. He didn't act like God. He was following just like the other people was following because of the miracles he did, because of the things he did. He was following to get or to be amazed, or he had another reason other than a spirit-led reason. He had a different motivation. When you pray, is your motivation to get God to do your plan or to get God's plan active in your life? Because if it's to get your plan approved by God, then I'm telling you, it's probably not born of the Spirit. But if it's to cry out for God's plan
to consistently operate in your life. This is the only safe place. And if your prayer life has become muddied with a manipulative exchange, give me this, I'll give you that. God, can we make a deal? I'll live right if you heal me. And everything in your relationship becomes performance-based instead of grace-based. I'm pharisaical by nature. That means I'm aware of the grace of God, but I still want to work for it. And I find that many of us are like that. I know God loves me. I know there's grace, but still let me work a little for it. Let me earn my way. Because iniquity means I still don't like how you think about things, God. I still don't like how you operate and how you deal. I don't like how you control everything. And I don't say it out loud, but all of my behavior says I'm being led by me and not by your spirit. I'm being manipulative, trying to get from God what I want instead of getting in my life what he wants from me. This is a dangerous position to be in. You may not be like this guy, Simon, who was so way off, he wasn't even in the way. But you may have Simon-like tendencies. Sorry, Simon. I believe in you. I mean, it's just your name happened to be in the Bible, and you say, you know, just trust God right now. Sorry. Yes, he does. I'm down to my final point here, and that is if you've got the manifest spirit of God on you, and you're committed not to be in manipulation, then where does the Spirit lead you? Where is he motivating us to go? How is he motivating us to think? And here it is. Ephesians 6. I think this is the NIV. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray without ceasing. Pray night and day. Pray when you're up. Pray when you're down. Pray when you're happy. Pray when you're sad. Pray when you're broke. Pray when you have plenty. Pray on all occasions. Commune and communicate with God on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. You can give him intercessory prayer, prayer of confession, dedication prayers, sanctification prayers. You need to be in a communication with God where the Spirit is leading you to apply the right type of scriptural prayer at the right time for the situation that you have. That means that you and God may not always be in sync if you're not following His Spirit with the kind of prayer you're offering Him at a particular time. You need breakthrough, and you're just praying for grace. You're just praying grace prayer. You need a breakthrough. You don't have time to be playing around. If we were going to meet with a dignitary, you would organize your life. You would organize that moment. You would take advantage of the power of that office and what they could do to intervene in your life. And you would be prepared, and you would understand what they respond to, what they fund, what they get, you know, how to get them to react. When you go before God, you want to go word-based. He said, the words I speak, they're spirit and life. If you want to be spirit-led in your motivation, then you have to have word-aligned prayers. Where is your prayer in alignment with the word of God? With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying. That means that you can get discouraged in prayer. You can get frustrated in prayer. And the discouragement and the frustration usually is God does not move when we want, how we want, almost ever. I used to hate when the old saint said, he may not come when you want him, but he always on time. Woo! That answer would set me on fire. He says, always keep on praying for the Lord's people. You know, in the church is a tough place to be sometimes, because in the church, sometimes can feel like the world. Little backbiting spirit, complaining about the leaders, complaining about the usher, complaining about this, complaining about that's not what we're called to do. We're called to encourage one another and pray for one another. You see something wrong, say, Lord, I just thank you. You're going to bless them. I saw that pain on my sister. I saw that pain on my brother. I'm just going to grab it. I see you. I see you. God bless. Yeah, see a burden on your pastor? Don't say, he should have been more prepared. Just go lay your hands on his shoulder. Say, Pastor, it's going to be good. You need encouragement. Pray for all the people. Pray also, these are the things that should motivate you. These are the things that the Spirit is about. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should. You know, I'll kind of conclude this moment, and then we're going to pray a little with my guilt when I used to stand before the Lord, realizing that the greatest majority of my prayers were about me. They weren't spirit-led. I wasn't motivated by his mission. And how I took the 10% of time that I was mission-minded and praying like that, and I made it bigger than it was. Kind of made me feel good. I didn't notice it right away. But when God started giving me a revelation of this maybe 15 years ago, I made an adjustment, and I had to, when I'm standing in this communication, I have to ask the Lord, is this about, do I got me in there or you in there? And we ask, we talk about it. So I came up with this thing, because these are things on the heart of God, called Midnight Run. I would have guys show up at my house at midnight. Now, you have to be spirit-led to do what I'm about to tell you, so don't write this down. Say, I'm going to start doing that, because Pastor, because you don't, the story is rough. Midnight Run, I call together some brothers, because what I do, if you're going to be discipled by me, you're going to pray. And if you don't like to pray, I'm not your discipler, period. If you don't like to pray long, I'm probably not your guy. Because we just wake you up. Just come on, just get up, you know. So I'm praying. No. So we go to my house and we pray from midnight to 1 a.m. Then we leave our house and we go to what we refer to in the States as the hood. And the reason I'm going there is because the lost people that I'm was after, that I had a grace to reach, that's when they're up. So my motivation is to be where they are. So when we're on the street, while they're selling drugs, while they're shooting, while they're acting crazy. And we would stand there after praying with an anointing, and I would start preaching the gospel. And here's what's funny thing. Here's what they would say. Man, yes, I'm willing to get saved. I said, why? Because for you to come out here this late at night, as dangerous as it is, God must have sent you. We lead people to the Lord. One night, a guy came behind me, had a gun, and he just started saying, bang, 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 bang. Now, I'm not recommending you do some of these things that I did. I said, that's why you going to hell. So, but I'm not recommending that. Because I was young days. I didn't stay in the spirit all the time. I came out and I went back in. Because I said, like, you ain't going to be shooting behind me. I just go in the flesh and I come back. I come right back. Okay. So I'm just letting you know. Then I would chase that fella down. I did. And I said, come here, I'm going to talk to you. He got his gun and everything. And I said, you know why you're going to hell? I said, because you don't want to accept Jesus. He said, stop saying I'm going to hell. No, that's where people who don't accept Jesus go. And I go back and forth. And he said, okay, I want to pray. I said, I ain't praying for you. You ain't serious. You just scared. He said, no, and he's chasing me. At 3 in the morning, and he got the gun to get saved. Because
When your prayer is motivated by the Spirit, He'll lead you to the place where the people in pain and who are estranged from them are. And you won't have this thing that, I don't know where any lost people are. All the people I know are believers. Yeah, you won't find them until you find Him in the Spirit. And then He'll give you a motivation to show up at the right place at the right time. So, let's quick review. You and I need what the early apostles need. We need not just the Holy Spirit within, but upon us. We need to exercise our spiritual gifts like speaking in tongues with a purpose, interpreting, Lord, what did you have me do? What do you want me to say? We need to eliminate this fleshly part of us of a manipulation. Just a little bit of the flesh and a little bit of the spirit, a little bit more of the flesh, a little bit more of the spirit. We need to end that hypocrisy, that duality. We got to end it. And then we have to beg God for a mind like His, a heart like His, a mission that's completely like His, that we can see like He sees and go where He's going. And do like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. Where do you get that? When you're motivated by not my will, but your will be done. So here's your music person. You can come back. So here's your assignment, and it's about to happen right now. I feel the word of the Lord. I've called you to this moment. I've called you to this season. I've called you to this time. I am the Lord who is wooing you and moving you to a new place. I am destroying the old place, saith the Lord. You may not visit me there, for I am not there. I am here in this new place, and I'm inviting you in, saith the Lord, inviting you to sit with me and to hear me speak comfortable words and new words to you, words that will bring you life and others life, saith the Lord. For I am stirring in you a fresh calling. I am giving you clear ears to hear what I'm saying. I am dismissing confusion from you even now, saith the Lord. And I am doing this by my mighty hand. I am doing a complete work in you. And I am reversing these words that you have given ear to that are sending you in an off direction, in a wrong direction, saith the Lord. I am giving you words that will set you on the correct path, that you might walk in the right way and you get the right results, saith the Lord. For I have drawn near to you. I'm inviting you. I am calling you. I am wooing you. I want you, saith the Lord. And I will have you this day. Hear my voice. Respond to my voice, saith the Lord. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Let it be a holy moment. However the Spirit of the Lord leads you to pray, you begin to pray. If He leads you to listen, listen. If He leads you to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. As He leads you to write what He says, listen, He is moving. Just take time. Don't be distracted. Listen to Him. Thank you. started. Don't let it stop. Don't take this heart and let it get stony again. Don't let my heart get stony again. Don't let my ears get dull again. Don't let me be led by myself again. Lord, lead me by your Spirit. Lead me freshly by your Spirit. Change everything if you have to. Move everything. We freely give ourselves to you. Let your purposes be revealed. Give us fresh vision. Fresh vision. Fresh vision.
Father, thank you that the work that you have begun today, you will bring it to completion. That everything that we will do, everything that we'll see this week, will be the complete work of the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friend, let's give Pastor James Lowe a big round of applause. Let's just thank him.